Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Tim Clark.
Live from Rosemont at the CDGA Chicago Golf Show, Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. And it is, Mike, one of our favorite shows of the entire year because every single year at this time, we are in the heart of the town square up here in Rosemont watching the people come in. The doors just opened and the floodgates have opened. We're going to hear the sirens of the long putt as well for every one of those that gets drained. And it is just one of my favorite shows of the year. It's like this show, our Masters shows. This year we get a Ryder Cup show, but this is one of the ones. This is an awesome event, and it's so much fun to be here live with you, my friend.
No doubt. It's another great year, another great show. And, folks, this is like the ultimate candy store if you're a golfer. The crowds have been huge yesterday. They had their biggest Friday in show history. And it's absolutely amazing to see the amount of people that are already queued up in line, ready to come in today. Because it was just a few years ago that we had had the show in 2020, then COVID hit. It was like the week after the show, and we were with 20,000 of our closest friends. And then the show went dark, as did many of the shows around the country, and many didn't come back because they couldn't come back. But they also say the comeback is better than the setback, and after being dark for 3 years, this show has not only come back, but it is the biggest it's ever been this year. So it is really satisfying to sit here and watch how this has evolved since COVID, and it's just another reflection of what the golf industry is doing since COVID struck us.
It's amazing because we started coming and doing the show here 3 years ago. And first of all, the immediate rush through the door today is already swelling far beyond what I feel like we've seen the last 2 years. And not to say like the last 2 years have been sparsely attended. No, it's been full in here. It's been like elbow to elbow. You feel like you're back in your college days at a bar sometimes trying to get a drink. But the way that this event has grown, and it's just a celebration of golf. You see everybody come together, and this is just another reminder that, A, golf is around the corner. B, get all the things that you need for the season so that you're ready once the weather does turn. Maybe we get one of those pop-up days. It is March, after all, now. I mean, we could be due for a 70-degree day at any point. I think I heard Tracy Butler, our friend of the show, say earlier this week that 70s are closer than we think. So once that happens, you know people are going to be out and playing golf, and this is just a good little reminder and segue that we are close. The end of our cold winter is near. You could feel like the ground not as frozen as it was. I think this week was a nice little rampway into that. And now we've got a golf show on our hands as the people are flooding in. So this is one of my favorite events of the year, just to see all the faces that come through, young, old, men, women. It's a great celebration of the sport.
There's no doubt about that. And I'm looking over to my right here, and the owner of the show, Tom Corcoran of Corcoran Expositions, is here greeting the crowd as he always is every morning as the crowd comes on in. But to your point, this is the ultimate kickoff for us, and we did get a little taste of that weather. And I love when Tracy Butler talks that way, because she can keep talking warm temperatures with us, because it was at this time last year we had already played a round by this point. So we are truly not too far away. So this weekend, folks, if you have any aspirations of changing anything associated with your game of golf, you'll find it here. And that includes anything with technology.
Yeah.
Sims, launch monitors, all that now has taken over like I've never seen before. So if you don't even understand what the data and the statistics are, come here to learn, because it will only improve your game to understand how you strike a ball and why it does what it does. These monitors and sims will reveal exactly what you're doing, and it will make you a better player quicker.
Yep. Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. You can't miss it. So come on out. It's the CDGA Golf Show live at the Chicago Golf Show right here. And there's a lot of things to do here, too. It's not just, oh, vendors here and gear that you can buy, technology you can learn about. It's not just that. I mean, you've got the main stage here as well. A number of people that will be speaking here, including Charlie Nikitas, who will be joining us at 9:35, a PGA Tour Americas member and winner of the Illinois Open last year. So we'll talk with Charlie in a little bit. Also going to talk to Andy North at 10 o'clock as well. Maybe get an early Masters pick from him, too. Uh-huh. And Tim Clark will join the show as well from Wilson. He'll join us at 10:35. So looking forward to all of those conversations here. And if you want to join us as well, 312-332-3776. Maybe you're on the way here. If you want a little preview of what Charlie Bevin's here with us today producing the show. We did a lap when we got here this morning just to kind of get a lay of the land, see what's out here. And, boy, I feel like the show has extended in terms of, like, how much space there is here. Like, there's more vendors here. It feels like, and you see, like, some of the same vendors that are here from years prior, maybe things that you bought from years prior, but it feels like it just keeps on going when you go back there. It's never ending.
No, it actually did get bigger. Our address literally changed because they were able to add more rows. So to your point, This show became much more horizontal in nature, if you will. We are still right at the main entrance when you walk in, so you can't miss us. We're right next to the Glenview Park tent, but Town Square is front and center, and we're right here. So stop by, say hello on your way in, tell us you were listening. But otherwise, this is the place to be this weekend if you're a golfer, plain and simple. And to your point, we've got things to do. There are simulators. There's demo areas. You can try the latest and greatest in 2025 equipment, and it won't cost you a thing. We also have two alleys for the longest putt, two 80-footers. One is themed for Evanston because our friends at Kemper Sports, who have the Evans at Canal Shores that is opening this year, they're our sponsor over there. And then the other one is themed out to be Chicago. Well, yesterday we had 19 hole-in-ones on the long putt. So the Chicago side was down 11-8, but we'll see what happens today. So if anybody's listening and you start hearing a Black Hawk horn go off while we're talking, that means somebody made it. So the entire hall knows that somebody just made a hole.
I got my practice in this morning, too.
And you came very close.
I did hit one.
Oh, that's right. You did.
I did hit one. We just have another one. There's the first one of the day. So you'll be hearing that horn throughout the course of the show. So that is number one on this Saturday. But it was packed in here yesterday, you were telling me.
Oh.
Just the sheer amount of people that are here and getting ready for the golf season. It's really cool to see. And, I mean, there's going to be a number of people here speaking, including you can come and see a Super Bowl champion, an 85 Bear, Emery Moorhead. We'll be here at noon as well. Hank Haney at 1:30. Tiger Woods' old coach is going to be here as well. So there's lots to do, lots to see. You can come see us. Peggy and Dion will follow us as well from 11 to 1 right here on ESPN 1000. And it's just that long putt. I mean, it's a challenge.
It is.
But I think I've started to – I was getting the specs down, and I feel pretty good about it now. I knocked the one in. I'm not going to lie. I thought I was just going to be sitting there hitting balls the whole time leading into the show. It probably took me like 40 or so tries, but eventually
hey,
I found the one. Yeah, eventually I found the one.
That's it, and it only takes one. And I'll tell you, the story of the day yesterday, it was the literal little old lady from Pasadena. She had to be close to 90, and she barely makes it out. They give her the putter. And I'm not sure she's ever really had a putter in her hands, and she made it. And I'm going to tell you, I thought the place was going to come down. Everybody was so happy for her, and the best part, though, was then her husband had to go, and the husband didn't even come close. And the putt, people say it's easy, but it is dead straight. And a dead straight putt is a little bit harder than you think. And
especially
you've got to keep it 80 feet straight.
Right, exactly. That's the toughest part. And then there's a little bit of rise to it
as well.
So you got to make sure you're playing for the hill there as well. It's not easy. I'll tell you that. I remember I was sitting here last year, and I don't think I hit one. And I was doing the same thing I did this year where I was leading into the show, just sitting there hitting balls, and it was never able to find the bottom of the cup.
Well, let's hope you find the bottom of the cup at around 1:15 this afternoon, because we're going to have you, we're going to have Peggy, we're going to have Dion, and a select few others. Your first attempt will be for $10,000.
How about
it? And hopefully
it?
Half of it. It comes to our foundation. The other half goes right into your pocket, and then you're taking me to dinner.
We will definitely make that work. We can find a way, find a time. Maybe we'll take a trip too. Maybe
yeah.
we'll go to French Lick or something like that. Spend a weekend there and play some golf, eat some dinner, have a good time down there. So
play a lot of golf and maybe a little gambling too at the
yeah.
casino.
Or I mean, there's a bunch of places around here, like there's a bunch of trips and like resorts that you can see around here. Maybe we'll find one that we like.
That's right.
With that $5,000. So
I'll bet Matt Golden over at Tullymore could help us out with a future. He'll take good care of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you're on the way to the show, let us know. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, and if you want to talk about what you're looking forward to for this golfing season, because we're around the corner now. I mean, it is March at this
point. It really is.
We are right there knocking on the doorstep, and before you know it, we are going to have people on the courses around the Chicagoland area. You'll be driving by your various courses and seeing the cars pull in and out, because the traffic's going to start to heat up soon, and I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a heck of a golf year. You know how excited I am.
Oh, yeah.
To get back after missing a good chunk of last year, kind of like the prime golfing months of June, July, and a good chunk of August. So you know I'm excited to get back out there, because I got to make up for some lost time.
You're like a bad library book. You are so overdue to get a lot of rounds in, and this is going to be your year. And I look forward to getting on the golf course with you a lot more than we did last year because of your little yeah. digit there.
Yeah,
that's an important hand, though.
It is, yeah. It is. And it was one of those things. I was hitting the ball about as well as I could. Even after I broke it, I had the splint on it, because my doctor said, you can do whatever you want, just keep the splint on it. And then we were hitting balls. We did the birdie challenge, the par
yep.
3 birdie challenge as well. But yeah, I was hitting the ball about as well as I could, and then I needed the surgery, and that kind of put me out of commission for a little bit there.
That's what happens in injuries in golf. It doesn't take much, and that's why we always have to be careful what we do around the house with our hands, because yep. you saw what happened to Scottie Scheffler. I mean,
yeah.
Scottie breaks a wine glass and
yep.
slices open his hand. And so sometimes they're the freakiest things, but they'll have a dramatic impact on you trying to grip and maintain a good face angle as you come through the club. So
yeah, we talked about that. We also talked about Victor Hovland last week. Be careful around those bedposts.
Oh, yes.
Don't want to jam a toe there.
Nope.
And he had a nasty break. So we will take a look at what's going on in the world of golf coming up next, including we had a 59 posted out at the Cognizant. So we'll discuss all that and more coming back. It's the CDGA Golf Show live from the Chicago Golf Show here in Rosemont on ESPN 1000.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan live at the Chicago Golf Show in Rosemont at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. Come on in. Come by, say hello. We'd love to see you. And we are talking a little bit about what's taking place at the Cognizant, as we saw a 59 get posted yesterday Thursday, by Jake Knapp, who has had some of these type of rounds where he just will look out of this world good. And he certainly put that on display down at PGA National. So your leaderboard right now, you've got Jake Knapp currently in the lead, followed by Matthew Pavone, Michael Kim in a tie for third with Daniel Berger, and how about Doug Gim, one of the local guys also.
A Kim and a Gim.
You got Doug Gim, who I saw had a nice little hot stretch on Thursday, and also yesterday as well, but he goes 68-63. And just looking at the way that Doug has played, we were talking a little bit about this before the show, he's had some moments on the tour where he's looked as good as anybody in the field. And could this be one of those breakthrough years for a local guy from around here and has a chance now to really take a big step in his career?
There's no doubt. And an event like this could be just the thing a guy like him needs to put his career on a new trajectory and reach a level that I know he knows he can get to and should be at. And I expect Doug to play excellent the rest of the season. And I think the next 2 days are going to, you know, bear a lot in terms of how the rest of his season is going to unfold. So I'm rooting for him in a big way, and I think he's going to come through in the clutch here this weekend. And he may not win, but I bet a top three finish for him would be a great week all in all.
Absolutely. I mean, the some of the finishes that we saw him have last year, especially I felt like later in the year, because like I've got my PGA Tour app, and I have him as one of like my saved golfers. So I'll see anytime he'll card an eagle, anytime he'll birdie three holes in a row. After every round, I get a little update from him. So when I'm not, like, watching it, but you could see it felt like towards the end of the year, it felt like he was finding his stride. And this is another guy. Like, we've talked with Nick Hardy before, and we'd love to, Nick didn't make the cut at this event, unfortunately, but he's one of those guys looking to try to get back into the form that he was in, but it's so tough to get to that point and then stay at that point. Like, that is really what differentiates the good players from the great players on the tour.
It does, and it's the ability to know how to win and will yourself to win when you're just not sure how to get this thing across the finish line. And it was more evident last weekend in Mexico when you had Brian Campbell coming down the stretch. He hadn't won in
all. Former Blackhawk.
Yeah, not the former. Let's not be confused. He's a Butterfield member, plays great golf down at Butterfield Country Club. But, no, this Brian Campbell, you know, started out on the tour. He went to the University of Illinois. Looked like he was going to be a can't-miss guy. But then again, just it's hard. Golf is hard, and winning on the PGA Tour is exceptionally hard. So he went back to the Corn Ferry Tour, has now made his way back to the PGA Tour, and what was it, 187 or 89 starts, and he finally gets it across the finish line. But in doing so, in sudden death, he hit a tee shot that looks like it was heading for the Gulf of Mexico, let alone anywhere else, but it ricocheted off of a tree or two and finds its way back in bounds. And the rest becomes history. He ends up making birdie, and he was 100 yards behind the other guy in the tee shot. And it all worked out for him. But meanwhile, we had this, you know, 19, 20-year-old, brand new, trying to win for the first time. And it was amazing to watch them kind of throw up on themselves, so to speak, as they were coming in. So it does go to show you the level of difficulty it takes to actually get it across the finish line to win. And I think Doug Gim, this could be the year where he finally does it.
Yeah, it would be an awesome story, especially for a guy who's from around here as well. Another good story taking place at this tournament. And by the way, before I get to that, actually, one thing that I've kind of noticed with, and just kind of shows how good these players are now, is their ability to chase. And you mentioned the errant tee shot there. There's a tournament a couple weeks ago where it felt like guys were missing fairways left and right, and it was just immaculate recovery golf every single time. And it feels like in every sport it goes through these different waves of, all right, the players get so good and they find this new skill, and it's like it's a lot of the bomb and chase, and it feels like that's become so prevalent, especially early on this season.
And it is. That bomb and gouge, if they call it, because they'll hit it anywhere and they gouge it out of the rough. But guys like Brian Campbell, he was hitting tee shots 40, 50 yards on the average behind some of these monsters, but he still showed that pure iron play can still get it done. But to your point, the new wave is this new just hit it as far down there as you can and gouge it, you know, get it on the green somehow and go.
I mean, Bryson was probably the poster child for that a couple years ago.
He is the poster
when
child.
When he's playing different fairways to get back and Nobody tries to find their way. Nobody makes golf a puzzle quite like Bryson DeChambeau.
No, but they can also do things and escape from places that we couldn't even begin to think about. And it's funny with some of these guys, some of the commentators are like, he's got absolutely no shot. And the next thing you know, the ball's dancing on the green, and they themselves are amazed. You know, when you go back to Jake Knapp for a second, you know, shooting 59, that's the 15th 59 in PGA Tour history, and it seems that they're happening more frequently now than they ever used to.
Yeah,
but I think
we had back-to-back 59s last year. Was it back-to-back tournaments?
That's right.
Back-to-back days last
year. That's right. So, you know, with that being said, the level of golf that these guys can compete at, and with the equipment, the technology, but at PGA National, folks, if you've never played there. In my former life working with the PGA of America, we were literally 300 yards down the road from the course that they're playing. And let me tell you, this is a big boy golf course. They've hosted major championships on this course. They've hosted Ryder Cups on this course. This is not a pitch and putt like Jake made it look like.
Yeah.
Now, what they did, there was no wind. That helped.
Yeah.
They also overseeded with rye for the first time. So they got the chance to play on conditions that were the best. They weren't dealing with, you know, dormant Bermuda, which can get real squirrely and be very inconsistent. And instead, they decided to overseed with rye. And for them, it was like playing on a carpet, and it showed. So they got the soft conditions because it had rained the night before, no wind, and the agronomy was second to none. So you put that with the combination of the talent of a Jake Knapp, who's got perhaps one of the prettiest golf swings in all of the game. It's so smooth, and it doesn't look hurried. It's what I call effortless power. So when you're watching him today, folks, just watch the rhythm and just the tempo of this guy, and it will absolutely astound you at how far he's hitting it, because it looks like he's swinging like 10 miles an hour.
Well, to the point, too, I mean, shooting a 59 on the PGA Tour, you're talking about the conditions there. It doesn't come without a little bit of luck.
A little.
Like, you obviously, like all these guys, and I'm not saying the 59 was lucky, but no, it's like any championship you see won in sports. There is a degree of luck that has to break your way. Now, I do think there's something to be said that luck is a skill. Creating your own luck is something that you'll see from time to time, too. So he had that ability, and he had the perfect conditions out there. Listen, everyone else had the same conditions. He's just the guy that took advantage of it.
That's 100% correct. And, you know, when you think about, you know, he must have made a couple of hundred feet of putts, and actually he only made 90 feet. And I say only because on the fifth hole he made a 31-footer. So what does that mean he did for the other 17 holes?
Yeah.
He was hitting it close, and he was actually putting for eagle, a very makeable one, to shoot a 58.
Yeah.
So when he putted and tapped in for 59, and I might add, it was just a little tap, and I would have been jumping up and down all over the place, and he just calmly waves to the crowd and walks off as if he shot 72. You would have never have known he shot 59.
You know what's funny, too? Our friend of the show, Jake Marsh, was on the call for PGA Tour Live, and he was mentioning, it's kind of like the no-hitter in baseball, you don't mention it.
Yeah.
But he was mentioning it, and some people were giving him some flack on Twitter, and he was just like, didn't matter. Like, no. He was just good enough. There's no such thing as the announcer's jinx.
No, and you know what? It's always the 59 watch. I mean, you know, and in fact, I think there was a point they were talking, maybe it's more of a 55 watch when he started going. I mean, it was incredible. But, it's, you know, you're right. You know, you'd always rather be a little lucky than good, but you got to be good to create those moments where opportunity knocks. And to your point earlier, being able to take advantage of it and understanding when to step on the gas and when not to, when those advantages, you know, come to fruition.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it there. A couple other things I want to get to. Actually, let's get to Charlie Nikitas in a second. There's two other things that caught my eye, including some nature on the course, And then another amateur who is playing very, very well early on in his career. And somebody floated this guy's name, actually, as a potential Ryder Cup member for the U.S. team as well. So we'll do all that and more when we come back. Charlie Nikitas will join us next, as he is scheduled to be on the main stage here at the Chicago Golf Show at 3 o'clock today. But he is kind enough to take some time with us coming up next here on the CDGA Golf Show. So we'll do all that when we return. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you live from the Chicago Golf Show on the CDGA Golf Show. It's all presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. And let's head on out now to the Jersey Mike's hotline, where we find PGA Tour America's member Charlie Nikitas and the reigning champion of the Illinois Open. And most importantly, though, Mike, a fellow Glenbrook South Titan joins us here on the CDGA Golf Show.
I thought you were going to say
Miami Red Hawks. See,
yes.
we've all got school ties with Charlie here.
That's
Charlie. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Charlie, how you doing, buddy? Congrats. 75th Illinois Open champion. Wow. Now that that has sunk in, what did that win do for the overall golf maturation process for you since that win?
You know, I think it's winning anything a good feeling. But I think winning any golf tournament, I mean, that was the first time I'd won, whether it was college, junior golf, I mean, especially in the pros. So I think it just kind of teaches you how to handle the nerves, how to handle the pressure, how to handle situations like that. And I think I've definitely grown as a player since kind of getting the job done, so to speak. And I think I kind of see myself, I mean, I've always seen myself in that light and being able to win golf tournaments, but until you actually do it, it's kind of hard to prove it. So it's been really good. I mean, I've done a lot of good things since that, and I think it was a big deal and a good step in the right direction for where my golf career is headed.
You know, Charlie, they always talk about learning how to win. It's so tough in the game of golf, and you mentioned it a little bit there, but like, when you break through for that first time, is it kind of just trial by error? Like, are you changing things up as you're going into final rounds?
You know, I don't think so, actually. I think it's a lot of the same thing. And it never necessarily gets easier. But when you're under the gun, like, you feel things that you can't simulate. You can't simulate them in practice, no matter how hard you work. So I think it's just kind of a like gathering an overall understanding of what you're feeling under the gun, what your thoughts are, where your game goes, and I wouldn't say it's trial and error, but more so just kind of gathering an understanding of kind of what your body feels when you're under the gun like that in the last nine holes. So I think you just kind of continue to do the same things and learn from it, and then keep working, and I feel like I've kind of done that.
And, you know, it seems that it takes a few years for guys that are getting used to leaving the amateur game and making it as a professional. It takes that time. But we're also starting to see guys that their timeline is a lot shorter when you think about Ludwig and now Luke Stanton. Why do you think we're seeing so many young guys be so successful so soon?
You know, that's a great question. It's been amazing to see. I mean, when Colin Morikawa came out, he was ready to win early. When Victor Hovland came out, he was ready to win. And now you're starting to see more and more guys just coming straight out of college. I mean, Nick Dunlap is one of my best friends, and he's won twice now on tour. Luke Clanton just got his PGA Tour card yesterday. Ludwig is already contending in majors and winning these elevated events. I think it's just a little bit of fearlessness in some of these younger guys, and they've played at such a high level for so long, and they're really just ready to go. And I've spent a lot of time around some of the best players in the world, and it's really impressive watching some of these guys. I mean, everybody out there has the talent. It's just kind of who has the wherewithal to just continue to play good and continue to contend and get the job done. I mean, it's hard to win. It's hard to win on the PGA Tour, obviously, but it's hard to win anywhere, and it's really impressive watching some of these young dudes. I mean, Nick Dunlap just turned 21. I think I don't even know if Luke Clayton is 21. So it's amazing. It's really fun to watch. I was watching Luke Clayton get his card yesterday, and it's just really impressive, and it's fun to watch, and it's very motivating for, I mean, I'm only 25, but it's pretty motivating.
Charlie Nikitas, PGA Tour America's member with us here on the CDGA Golf Show and the reigning champion at the Illinois Open. He'll be on the Daily Herald main stage here at 3 o'clock at the Chicago Golf Show, so be sure to come on out, see Charlie. Are you prepped? Are you briefed? Are you ready to talk on the main stage? Are you a public speaker?
I don't know about all that. I am excited.
Do you know what you signed up for today?
Not really. Not really. But I know it's kind of with the IPGA, and Brett Packey will be up there with me, kind of, I don't know, hosting. Brett Packey's a good friend of mine, and I think it'll be fun. I mean, I was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of nervous, but at the same time, I'm supposed to talk about golf for an hour, which is something that I do every day. It's something that I love, so I don't think it'll be that hard. But I'm excited. It'll be fun.
I just speak from your heart, my friend. Just speak from your heart, and you'll be just fine. But, Charlie, if you could finish this sentence, if I could do more of blank, I will win 2 to 4 times this season.
If I could do more of blank. I don't know. That's a tough one. I think it's more of the same is how I would finish that sentence. I think I've been on the right track for a while now. I'm certainly doing the work, and I think it's just continuing to put yourself in positions to win golf tournaments. These weeks are long. You know, 4 rounds is a lot of golf. So you continue to, for me, do more of the same. Be patient, stick to your process, hit the shot at hand, and kind of go from there. That's kind of how I've had my success in the past. I had a caddy. I won first stage at P school in fall, and I had a caddy, and we kind of joked around like the whole week about keeping my heart rate down and kind of avoiding reactions to golf shots. And when we just kind of joked around, like I'd hit something pretty yucky, and we just kind of look at each other and laugh because like there's no reaction. So just kind of doing a lot of the same stuff and playing golf and enjoying the process is kind of where I'm at. So that's how I've changed it for sure.
You know, Charlie, I've seen, speaking of your caddy there, like I've seen pictures in the past of your brothers carrying the bag for you, Jamie and Danny, and obviously you've graduated beyond that here. But like, what goes in for someone like you who's trying to make it now? What goes into choosing a caddy?
Well, I guess quite a few things. But I've had both my brothers. I've actually had everybody in my family has caddied for me at least once. And I'm going to have to say, I don't know who's listening right now, but I'm going to have to say that my mom has by far the best track record.
Okay.
In terms of in my family, she's probably caddied for me 3 or 4 times now. Her first time caddying for me was 36 hole day in the USAM qualifier. And, we got through. So she's welcome on my bag at any point, whenever she wants. Whether it's on the PGA Tour or a state open, whatever it is. But I think it's just trying to find somebody who you mess with and you can enjoy spending time with. I had at first stage, I had my, one of my brother's college basketball teammates, caddy for me for 72 holes. And, he's somebody that I look up to. It was kind of just like an opportunity for us to hang out, kick it, and then when the shot became our main focus, then we're locked in. But like we just had a good time hanging out. We stayed in kind of a rinky hotel and eating fast food all week, and like you just kind of have to be cool with that. So just finding somebody you enjoy spending time with is to me most important. I think the golf comes, but you're out there a long time, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time on the golf course, so that's pretty important to me.
So, Charlie, who was your caddy when you became the champion at Flossmoor this past summer?
You know, I was by myself at Flossmoor.
Wow.
Yeah, I was by myself at Flossmoor. It was, I don't know, I just kind of figured I wanted to do it on my own, so I did it.
Wow. And well,
so
that,
you have the best track record of caddying in your family.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But
I have done a lot of that. I mean, we carried our bags in college. I actually prefer to carry my bag up to Canada and Latin America for at least the first two rounds until you require the caddy. I don't know. I kind of like being by myself. I like doing it.
So when you are in an event like the Illinois Open, because Tommy Kuhl and you were both 6-under going into the final round. So my question is, now you don't have a caddy. How do you stay in the present and not be concerned about what just happened or fearing a shot that's coming up in the next hole or two? How do you stay? Because to me, that's the hardest thing to do in this game.
Yeah, I think I just like to hang out. I mean, I enjoy being on the golf course. I think the final round of the Illinois Open was something that I had thought about for a long time. So I was kind of just soaking it all in. Like, I had a lot of people out watching. My whole family was there. My grandma came. I had some sponsors out there. Just some people that showed up kind of in the middle of the round. And I was like, wow, there's no way that he's here. So it was just kind of like soaking it all in and trying to hit the golf shots at hand and like enjoying the moment kind of. I mean, Tommy Kuhl is one of my best friends. Drew Shepard was also in that group. And there was a little bit of back and forth early. And I think we were all kind of just enjoying it. We had all just come from Canada. We were all kind of tired. But it was a really cool day. And I think I grew a lot just like kind of proving it to myself that I can do it. And doing it by myself kind of made it just a little bit sweeter. And my whole family was out there. So there was at times like I'd just go pull my bag over and go sit and talk to my family and hang out and whatever and just kind of ignore the fact that playing the final round of the Illinois Open and I'm like, whatever, I have a 2-shot lead. But yeah, it was nice to prove to myself that I could do it.
Charlie Nikitas with us for a few more minutes here on the CDGA Golf Show. So you mentioned Nick Dunlap, one of your good friends, one of the college guys that you knew there. Who are some of the people that you look up to on the tour right now?
Nick Hardy, first and foremost. He's one of my best friends. He's been one of my best friends for a really long time. He's from Northbrook. He went to Glenbrook North, which you know, a little bit of rival, but that's okay. He's certainly taught me quite a bit about the game, how to work, how to hold, like, just how to do things the right way. I think he's really somebody that a lot of people look up to, and I've been super grateful to have such a great relationship with him for a long time. And then Nick Dunlap is funny. He's 4 years younger than I am, and I look up to him in the same way. I've gotten close to him the last couple of years, and the way he carries himself, the way he does what he does, and has had so much success. He's Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour. Obviously, Nick Hardy has won. I think those are two of the guys that I've gotten, I mean, super close with, and they're easy to look up to. They're easy to root for. They're really, really talented, and it's just a cool thing to have my peers now kind of playing the PGA Tour instead of just guys that, you know, you watch on TV. So spending time with those guys out there is really cool.
So, Charlie, next year, not to get too far ahead, but the Illinois Open comes back to Kemper Lakes. So, you know, Flossmoor was a big boy golf course, and Kemper Lakes has also hosted a major and a few other professional events on the women's and the senior side. Have you played Kemper much, and have you had a lot of success there?
I have certainly played Kemper quite a bit, actually. Jim Billiter, who was the old head pro at the Merritt Club when kind of all of us were hanging out there, went to Kemper Lake, I want to say like 2018 maybe, and we would try to sneak out at like literally 7 a.m. We were the first group on the golf course. It'd be like me, Jim, Nick Hardy, Patrick Flavin, maybe Brian Orr, we'd sneak the five ball out there. And play some golf. It is, you coined it correctly, a big boy golf course. The finishing stretch out there is super legit. It's long, it's hard, it's tight. I think kind of anything can happen out there, but a lot of patience can be necessary to have some success at Kemper, just as Flossmoor. They're kind of different, I would say. They're very different, but it'll be a good one for sure.
Charlie, best of luck this year, man, and we will see you out here at the Chicago Golf Show on the Daily Herald stage at 3 o'clock.
I love it. Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much. Charlie, see you soon, and good luck, buddy. Charlie Nikitas, PGA Tour America's member and reigning champion at the Illinois Open with us. He'll be out here at 3 o'clock with Brett Packey, who we've had on the show before, a fantastic golf coach and teacher. So they'll be up there together chopping it up on the main stage at 3 o'clock today. So be sure to be on out here for that here at the Chicago Golf Show, which is where we are right now. Come on out. Come say hello. We'd love to talk some golf with you. If you want to join us on the show, 312-332-3776. I had a couple more things I wanted to get to with you as well from the Cognizant that I'll bring up with you when we come back here. This segment has been brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you live from the Chicago Golf Show, the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. Talking all things golf with you as the people continue to flow on in. It is going to be jam-packed in here today.
Oh, it will be.
And you can also, if you do come out here, participate in the longest putt contest as well. We've sounded the horn twice today.
So far.
Once pretty much right out of the gate from our show, and then once while we were on the phone with Charlie as well. So the putts are rolling in, so come on out and try to knock one down. You get three chances at it.
That's
and,
right.
And, I mean, you can purchase more opportunities. You can have as many chances as you'd like.
We actually, and this is no joke, we had a guy do it 20 times. He spent $100.
Wow. And it all goes to a great cause,
To our work with veterans, individuals with disability, and youth. So we're all about growing the game and changing lives. That's what we do at the CDGA.
So come on out, hang out. It's a great time out here. Even just like coming out here to walk around and seeing everything, be a part of the traffic.
And it's just a great place to commune and visit with people. It's been a long winter. Everyone's talking with, you know, a lot of aspiration and a lot of hope and a lot of, you know, this is going to be a different type of year for me in the game of golf. But it's just so cool to watch people reconnecting. It's been a long winter, and everyone is looking forward to the weather turning and getting back out where we belong on a golf course.
Yep, absolutely. Just a couple of other things from the Cognizant that I wanted to talk about with you. One of them is Luke Clinton, who we talked a little bit with Charlie. And I saw an interesting tweet. This was from Brentley Romine from the Golf Channel. And he brought up how this is what was his hot take for the day. Hot golf takes for you. Luke Clanton will be on the U.S. Ryder Cup team this year at Bethpage. The Americans countering with their own Ludwig and will pair with Daniel Berger for 2 points.
Wow. That would be epic.
Talk about some of these young guys. I mean, you obviously have to see it stick, but him going out and doing what he's done so far as a guy at Florida State right now, I mean, we've seen some of these young guys come up and have no fear, and I don't know if we're necessarily in a transition point with the American team, but obviously Liv has kind of shook some things up too. But I just think that with the way that we've seen some of these European players, especially guys like Victor Hovland and Ludwig Åberg, and the way that they've played in some of these events early on, for the U.S. to kind of counter with their own young guy right now, like I'm trying to think through, Sahith Theegala, I think, is a guy, I'm trying to remember, he was on the last Ryder Cup team, if I'm remembering correctly, for the U.S. But like I feel like the Americans need one of those younger guys to go and be something as part of like the developmental process with some of these guys. Get some of these reps in early, especially when you're going to be playing this one on your home soil.
Well, and I would agree with you. I think Luke Stanton becomes a very intriguing captain's pick potentially. I mean, Luke could earn his way on the team. He would have to have a season like no other. But let's just assume he plays well, and I mean real well. Maybe doesn't win, but he's got to catch Keegan Bradley's eye. He has to, because wouldn't it be nice to give them a little dose of their own medicine with one of our young studs that we've now grown and raised and groomed here in America, a Florida State grad, and a guy that's absolutely killing it, and a kid that's easy to root for. How do you not like a kid like that?
Yeah.
They had like a little prayer group as a family before he teed it up, and I've never seen a more emotional moment than when he knew he made now the PGA Tour. In all of those drives by mom taking him to the golf course, or dad, and you know, I mean, there's so much sweat and equity that goes into this behind the scenes that people just have no idea. I mean, Charlie would have been able to tell you the same thing. His parents bent over backwards to make sure he had this opportunity to do this. So behind every one of these great champions, there's a set of parents that have absolutely sacrificed the world for their kids.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, when we come back, we will talk with two-time U.S. Open champion Andy North, and now serving with ESPN as one of their golf analysts. So we'll talk with Andy coming up in 2 minutes. This segment has been brought to you by Zero Friction and the most innovative products company in golf.